Hey, what's up, Scale Rider listeners? This is your host, 65 Oaks, and welcome back to another episode of Scale Riders Podcast. This is episode number 98. My guest for this episode is Bear Garcia. He's all the way in Dubai. And let me tell you a little bit about Bear. Back in the 90s, he's had his own shop. He did a lot of custom work. Lowriders, he was part of Elite Car Club. And at the same time, in the 90s, he was also a part of the Lowrider Bicycle Magazine team. And, I mean, there's a lot of various things, his involvements with the magazine that inspired and helped a lot of model builders, especially in the tech department. And he also was a huge inspiration for a lot of model builders who are into the hoppers, bed dancers. A lot of the, you know, builders that are doing things now will refer to Bear Garcia. He will be amongst the conversations of the first bed dancer functioning car, truck that would move side to side, bed dancing, three-wheel motion. You know, Bear is an innovator, a visionary, someone who created a lot of things early on and pass those things along to other people, you know, keeping the culture and the skill model world moving forward. And, you know, he's currently in Dubai, and the way he got there, I'll tell you a little bit about it. From what I know is he's been doing a lot of custom work throughout his life. And he's had really amazing opportunities based on his work. He's been on TV shows such as Pimp My Ride that was on MTV. And based on his work from there, when West Coast Customs went international, he got that opportunity to go out to Dubai and do his thing. And that's where he's at now. He's been there for a very long time. You know, I don't want to say too much because obviously he's the guest on the show. And, you know, but I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up. So a lot of the things that he's done are things that we dream of doing. And I want you guys to hear him out and hopefully get inspired because, you know, he did his work. He got to where he's at based on his work. Being innovative, a visionary, and always moving forward. I know a lot of you guys that listen love cars, are very passionate, and also want to pursue a career in your life, working with cars, customizing. I know that for most of us, this is a hobby. We love to explore, create, dismantle, rebuild a lot of different projects that we have at hand in front of us on our bench table. And at the same time, we're learning as we go. And some of us, we want to take it to the next step. We want to, you know, be working at a shop. We want to be able to work for a company, you know, where next thing you know, you're at SEMA presenting a car. And I mean, these are dreams that will become reality. They will happen. You just got to put it out there in the universe and it will happen. You just got to stick to your plan, move forward, you know, check things off the box and you'll make it there. The conversation that I had with Bear, you know, obviously I'm out in California. He's in Dubai, 12 hours ahead. I want to thank him for taking the time, you know, for him being 12 hours ahead, for me it was at night, for him early morning. So I appreciate that he took the time to be on the podcast here and just to share it with you guys, you know, some of the things he did, his story. And I wish we had more time, but it's a bit hard just because of the distance, him being all the way out there and him being here. But who knows, maybe one day in the future, he'll be out in California visiting again, and maybe we could do a sit down or even like a video podcast or something would be so great, you know. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And I will put links in the description. So if you guys want to follow Bear on Instagram, he is on Instagram. And you guys can see a lot of his work on there. I did find some videos on YouTube as well with Bear showcasing his cars that he's working on. 63 Impala Hopper as well. Just a lot of things, you know, him having fun doing this thing, which is really rad to see. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Keep on building, and thank you for listening to the Scale Riders podcast. Hey, what's up, Bear?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Cool.
Hanging in there.
Nice. That's what's up, man. It's a morning out there, right?
Yeah, morning. Having coffee.
All right on, man. Welcome to the Scale Riders podcast. Excited to have you on.
Just one thing, my phone will clip off and on, and I would have to call you back. Sometimes it does that, but it just beeps, so I know it'll do it.
Yeah, no, it's all good, cool, just in thanks. Case. Yeah, dude, that's what's up. Man, it's crazy. How long have you been out there now for, in Dubai?
I've been living out here a little over 11 years.
Wow, time flies, man. So, is it kind of like a trip that back in the day, you're building model cars to where you're at now?
Yes. I mean, I look back and I really, like, I love toys. I go to the toy store by myself and people are just like, what is that guy doing here? But, I always look back every day, every week, just like the crazy things that I've done and how I got here to what I started from.
Yeah. So back when you were collecting like the cars, were you starting off with like Hot Wheels, things like that?
I had a workshop back in the States also, and my office, I didn't have wallpaper, I had Hot Wheels, and I had 125th scale, and I had bicycles and all kinds of toy stuff. So I was always into it.
That's cool.
Regular cars and toy stuff.
Yeah. How did you get introduced to the model car scene?
Well, I think it was super early 90s. I was actually introduced into the lowrider scene. I moved from Orange County to San Bernardino County. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of lowrider stuff going on in San Bernardino, and Orange County was more like mini trucks and all that stuff. So I didn't grow up in the lowrider style. And then when I moved to San Bernardino, I was just like, oh, this is super cool. I really like it. You know, I'm going to switch my style. And I had a shop, and I already was doing sounds and suspension stuff work a little bit. And we weren't super busy. So then, you know, some kids around the neighborhood, they had models, and I was just like, okay, you know, during a slow time, we would just mess with them, and I'd help them. I'd paint the cars for them or anything. But one guy that used to come, he had some friends, some old school, like veterano guys that were like, oh, they used to put a little string in a motor and make a slot here, and the car would move just a very little bit. But, you know, I was like, no, we got to do something realistic and better.
Yeah, that's cool. So once they were talking about it, it's like you were already envisioning, like, we got to just take it to that next level at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's my job now. Anything that I do, that's how I got here. You know, I build Porsches and all kinds of crazy stuff because I can envision how stuff to get built. I invented the T-slide in my little workshop, and then once that took off and people are like, oh, how did you get your car to three-wheel and all this stuff, you know, and all the little switches and switch boxes and all that stuff, I was, you know, it just kind of took off within a year, year and a half. And everybody through the neighborhood was like, this dude is building models that can three wheel and hop and side to side. And then, you know, I'm part of Elite Car Club. So then we would go to shows and I would take a bunch of models and people just, I want one. It just kept going from there.
Yeah. Were you always a visionary, like from a young kid, or was it more when you got involved with the car scene?
Always pushing to make stuff from nothing. you know, my son in the 90s was the first lowrider bicycle to be hopping on airbags and stuff and stuff. Like, he did a lot of different videos and different things. And they were just like, you know, before airbags were super crazy, like mm-hmm. my son's bike was on air and I built all that.
Wow, that's cool. It's crazy. Like, a lot of people that I've met and seen their work online now, they always bring you up. Like, Jeffries yeah. brings you up. Like, he speaks highly about you. Like, you've inspired a lot of people. I've met other friends through different mediums of just like paint, where when I tell them like, oh yeah, I build model cars too, they're like, wait, what? There's still a scene for that? I thought it like ended. And I'm like, no, it's still going on. And then once I show them Instagram or point them to certain links, they start to see like this world that it still keeps going. And then they'll tell me, dude, I remember back in the day, seeing on the magazines, Bear Garcia being featured on the Lowrider Bicycle. And I'm always tripping out like, dang, like you reached to so many people back in the day.
Well, for me, it was like, it was fun, but, that's me.
Yeah. And, on the second issue of Lowrider Bicycle Magazine, one of your trucks is featured in there. And on this one, on the spread, it shows the bed dancing, it goes side to side, the three wheel motion. How was the work process like as far as time when you were developing this truck?
That thing took me probably about, I want to remember about 6 months of just trial and error and just throwing it aside, because it was, you know, I already got the hydraulic stuff down pretty good. I already did so many cars and built so many models for different people. And by that time, like, okay, the shop can run itself. And it was, you know, in the models were bringing kids and customers to the workshop. So this, of course, you know, bed dancing was big in the 90s. So I was just like, we have to make something like this. So that truck was like, I got to do it. And I think I did three different ones, and that was the one who just ended up working.
Yeah. At that time when Lowrider Bicycle Magazine was around, like when they were starting to come out, was it like pretty like an exciting thing at the time when that was coming out?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I mean, for me, yeah, it was fun, but then, you know, I got a lot of notice from just these little models. When I would go to the lowrider shows, I mean, I had a car, but there would be crowds of people around my table full of models that were hitting switches and headlights in them, and, you know, like the truck, it was front, back, side to side, three wheel, scissor lift, spinning bed, tilt back bed, you know, in a little model. So it was just like, how did you make that? And I go, I don't know. Even me, I don't know how I made it.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? It's
you know, gold plated and faded patterns and everything. Like, just, I just did it all.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've always heard of people creating things, and when they're done with it, and later they think back and they go, dude, I don't even know how I did that. It's almost like this like creative, like conscience or Holy Ghost goes, you know, it just goes in you and you create this thing and it's done. And you're just like, what the heck? And everyone's just tripping out.
Yeah. It's for me, it's always been like a mechanical puzzle for me. Okay. This does not exist. Let me figure out how to make it.
Yeah. That's dope.
And I made a living off of that. You know, I've worked on expendable cars and Batmobile for the Dark Knight and all kinds of crazy TV cars and stuff that make fire shoot out of the car and stuff like that.
Yeah, when you work on like those projects there, like doing all those cars, do you kind of approach it the same as like a model car?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, it's just in a bigger scale, one-to-one scale.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, I mean, you build models, it's about envisioning, like, you're already picturing what the final product's going to be. How do I get from beginning point to end point? That's where your mind comes to work and makes it happen.
Yeah. That's right.
And it doesn't matter what size it is.
There's another thing that a lot of people talk about, and they talk about this VHS tape, a how-to that you made.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Revline, yeah.
Yes. So
I want one.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that video. Like, how did that come around? How did that project happen?
Well, that guy was, I don't remember his name, but he did some of the video stuff, like when the Super Show came, they would, you know, he would do some of the cool clips. He would videotape your car and he would sell it to you. And then he did other stuff, production stuff for Hollywood thing. So I don't know, he just came to one of the shows and I was there and he just seen a big group of people and just said, like, what's going on here? And then he was just like, this is super cool. And then he just, you know, like, hit me up. I think we could do like a how-to and how, you know, and stuff. And I mean, I don't know that people know, but when the Lowrider Bicycle Magazine, I was already involved with Lowrider Magazine with cars and stuff. But when Nathan and them were putting the bike magazine together, I was with them from issue one, just as kind of a, like help out, like call, like, oh, yeah, this. And then of course they wanted to feature the truck, but not the first magazine, they did in the second, but they did a series of how to's. I was doing all the how to's, how to, you know, build the Lowrider models. You know, it was just for fun. I just wanted kids to enjoy the cool Lowrider lifestyle and without having to build a car. And, you know, I thought the neighborhood, the keeping the kids out of trouble and gangs and all this stuff, building models was helping.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That was one of the things I loved about the magazine was the how-tos on there. Because like for myself, with my friends, we were building model cars and we would pick up the magazine. Like, we were picking up the Lowrider magazine, and then I remember picking up like the Lowrider Arte. And
yeah.
And then finally, like, one of my friends was like, have you got the bicycle one? And I'm like, we're like, what's that? You know, they're like, there's a bicycle one. And then one of our friends showed it to us. So we end up picking it up. And then one of the issues was the one that had Armando Flores is a local 64.
Yeah.
So we weren't like, when we came across it, it wasn't like from the beginning. This was already like some issues I'd already passed.
Yeah, like around 6 or something like that. And it came out every 2 months or 3 months, something like that.
Yeah, and that was always a thing. We didn't know when it was going to come out. We were constantly checking and asking the clerk there at the liquor store, when is this coming out? And the guy was just kind of like, we just put them out. I don't know. So it was always kind of like a trip.
I think it was only 4 magazines per year. And then it went to... more once the thing started picking up, I think 6 magazines a year, something like that.
Yeah. And I still remember though, on some of the how-tos, there would be one we looked at, and then it was like a part one. And then, and then we had to wait for the part two. And then sometimes we didn't get the part two because we didn't know when it was coming out.
You had to park your model in the garage. You're like, man, I can't work on it.
Yeah, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Yeah, that was always crazy. But that's
it's pretty... like your mom's making fresh tortillas and you're standing in the back like, I need it.
Just waiting. Yeah, it's I like that you did that video though, like the whole like the VHS, because I mean that was the format that people can view, especially like a how to. And one of the issues that Lowrider Bicycle Magazine had put out, there's a scale model builder and he has a truck. I don't know if you remember this. It's called a Terrorizer, and this gentleman's name is John Rojas. He's from Colorado. Okay. And in the article, he does refer to he said he bought and he studied that VHS video that you put out. And I mean, in the spread, in the pictures, you know, has the truck, the bed dancer, everything. And it looks pretty similar to your truck. And I mean, just right there, that I thought that was so dope that he credited you right there, and that he did. you know, he studied it and he managed to pull it off.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's
that video was shot in my bedroom.
No way. So the dude the dude was like, "Hey, I'll come through and we'll just do it." Like, did it take long to shoot, or was it like a quick kind of thing?
No, it was just like a quick thing. I think the guy came a couple hours or a few days, and then it was done. Like, you know, I lived in Ontario, California at the time, and I had a couple old cars in front of the house and stuff, and then he's just like, "Well, where do you do all your work?" And I had a desk in my bedroom with all my tools and stuff. I'm like, "Right here." He's like, "Okay, cool."
Man, that's tight. At that time, when that video was out, like, did more and more people start to, like, recognize you and talk more about this VHS at that time?
Not at all. Not at all. Nothing. I don't know. I mean, the videos, like, it came out. They just, like, we did it. And then I got to get him. He was doing it on a low budget. I didn't even get paid for any of that stuff. Oh, you'll get a cut of each tape and all this stuff. And, you know, I never seen anything. I did it. You know, I don't even know if he sold 1 million or if he sold 10. I don't know. I never really, after that, he's like, you know, he gave me 5, I think, something. And I gave some to my friend, and my mom had one. And then and somehow I never had any. I didn't till now. I still don't even have one.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my blue truck. The only thing that I've kept of all that history is my blue truck.
Nice. I'm glad you still have it. Definitely preserve it.
Well, I gave it to my son. I mean, he's in his mid-20s now, but then when he came and visited me a couple of years back, he brought it out here to Dubai because he's just like, "I'm not going to be dragging it around with me." I was like, "Okay, no problem."
Yeah. Right on. Man, that's cool. Back in the day when you were doing your models, what were, like, your favorite, like, hobby stores to hit up?
I can't say on the record, off the record, or whatever, but Pegasus was a little hole in the wall. And through them selling the wheels and copying my T-Slide as a kit and all this stuff, they were super popular and running ads in the bike magazine. They turned into this humongous company over the few years. I was gold plating all their Dayton Wire wheels and car parts for them. And because I had my friend had connections with plastic plating. So nice. I was all the Dayton Wire wheels back in the late 90s and 2000s or something, I was the guy that was getting them gold plated and chrome plated and all that stuff.
Wow, that's so dope. Damn, you've been involved with a lot of stuff then.
Cool. But it's always like, it's not about me. It was just about, you know, doing things, you know. Like
contributing. That's cool.
So and some of the big model builders now, they're super awesome, which are super cool. And I take a peek here and there. You know, they worked in the store as the counter clerk, and they would help me, and they'd be like, "Oh, Bear, man, what's up? Like, hey, how's it going? What do you need?" I don't know, just load up. Let's take a bunch of models and this and this and this. I would just go buy like so much stuff. My house, it turned up into a model factory for a little while.
Yeah. Wow. And at that time, I mean, what I always trip out is, like, it's easy for us to go back and look at these images in the magazines or go online or get the information from you guys, right? Like, "Oh, I'm stuck here," or "How do I do this?" And it's just so easy now to get information. But I feel like back then, you guys just had to do it on your own, just kind of figure it out. Scratch build stuff.
And there wasn't, and even people didn't know who you were. I mean, there was, Bear Garcia in the magazine, my name, but I'm walking around, they don't know who I am. It wasn't like, what, a little black and white picture every once in a while. Like, so it wasn't like that, like it is now. You know, you're doing some different social media that people can see and recognize you pretty easy.
Yeah. What were, like, your inspirations back then when you were building models?
I don't know. It was just more like the lifestyle of where I moved to. I mean, it wasn't a big jump from Orange County to San Bernardino County. I moved to Ontario. But the lowrider culture, I really embraced it right away. I didn't have I mean, of course, I've seen them in Orange County, lowriders and hydraulics and all this stuff, but I was just like, okay, that's cool. But then when I moved and lived in the middle of it, I was just like, I really love the culture and the style and all this stuff and the colors of the cars. And, you know, I didn't have a big budget to build a car. I had a few nice cars, but not like lowrider, you know, coolness. And, you know, and I've always loved toys. I mean, some of the models and stuff that I've built, I've sold to Mattel. I've sold to Ravel. I've helped design things for them, some of their lowrider kits. You know, that before it was just you can only buy the 64. Then it went to you can buy the lowrider one. I help work on some of those things for corporation companies.
Yeah, how was that process like when you got linked up with them? Did you have to go to like board meetings type thing for that?
No, it was, I don't know. It was very casual. Of course, nobody wants to pay anything. It was just like, oh, help us. Because you'll get recognition. And I'm just like, oh, I don't, recognition's not going to, it's not exciting for me. But no, it was just the same thing. It's never about the money. It wasn't about being famous or anything like that. It was just like, I love doing it. And I thought it would help the culture and the kids. And so, we'd go, we'd sit and talk, sometimes just in coffee and just, you know, they would just sit and write, and I would just like, this is what's going on. This is the style. No, this is not. That's old school. Don't put that stuff. So it was okay.
Yeah. Man, that's neat. That's tight. Yeah, I was talking to David Anthony Garcia not too long ago, and I had mentioned to him that I was going to do a podcast episode with you, and he was like, dude, tell him I say what's up.
Yeah, man. Been a long time. He was a youngster working at Pegasus when
that's right. Yeah, because I talk to him pretty frequently. We'll like message each other and stuff, and I'm always like just looking through the mags too and seeing his work. I saw him not too long ago at an event, so it was nice. He was telling me he's like excited again, like doing models and working on different projects. Do you ever get that feeling like once in a while that you're like, man, I wish I could just like bust out a model, maybe work on something during like free downtime?
I still love toys, and I have a younger son. He's 9, but he's a builder, but more mechanical. The crappy part is that they don't really sell models out here.
Yeah.
So. Any models that I have, I do have a collection. My phone's going to cut again. I have a collection of cars, but I give them away to people when they come to my shop. This is how I learn. Here, take this. I've never seen it before. Like younger kids who's interested in cars, I go, this is how you build from this to this. And the parents are like, why would you give it? Because it's cool. Better than sticking to an iPad.
Yeah, that's true. Man, that's bad. I appreciate that you've, obviously, like, you know, you have this love of like giving stuff away. So back at that time when you were building model cars, how did you go about finding or creating material and parts for your cars that weren't available back in the day? But now, I mean, now you could find them anywhere. But back in the day, that's a lot of that stuff wasn't available. So how did you do it back then?
finding the parts was a little bit challenging. Then I was in partners with the stereo shop also, so the old radios, car stereos were taken up apart with the cassette players. Nobody used those anymore. Everybody wanted CDs, so I would take them apart and see what motors I can find inside there, the little mechanisms that pull the cassettes in and out. I would, you know, the little gearing and all that stuff. I was just like, I would just take it apart, and I thought if I use it, I'd put it aside and save it. But when I was also doing running around for the shop and other things, I would make it a point there's an electronics store over here. Let me pass by Radio Shack. I was always in Radio Shack trying to find, you know, what they had. But one gold mine, I just don't know. I don't even remember. I think it was called All Electronics in L.A. I was going to L.A. and I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's like a surplus electronics store. I went there. Man, it was a building full of different kinds of electronics. I was like, I didn't want to leave. I had to go. And I was just like, how much money do I have? A couple hundred bucks. In one corner, I found a stack. There were styrene, like egg flaps, and each flap had 50 of the little motors. There was just, I don't know what they were for. And the guy's like, yeah, they're all little mini motors. And I tested one, I checked it, and I was just like, oh my God. There was, it must have been about 3,000 or more motors. How much do you want for all of them? And he's just like, I don't remember what he told me, how much. It was just like, I think a quarter for each or something like that. I didn't have enough money. I bought as many flaps as I could buy with the money I had in my pocket. And then I came back like a week later and bought out the rest. And I'm in the corner of my room was just a stack of little mini motors. And I was selling them, you know, to kids, like, here's four motors, you know, four pump setup for your models. I don't know, give me $2, you know, something like that, something stupid. When you would go to Pegasus and you would buy these models, people were spending like ridiculous money, $15, $20 to put in their models. I was just doing it just for the fun of it, not to make millions out of it. But yeah, it was fun. So I was always on the hunt for breaking stuff apart, broken toys, go to flea markets and find some toys. I was like, oh, it has some motors in it. Let's take that thing apart.
When you started getting your electronics and your materials, did you add any sound to any of your model cars at that time?
Yeah, I put some sound systems in a couple of models. The blue truck that everybody knows me for did have a sound system. I had a ragtop on the roof of it, which was used as a... Well, the ragtop was made out of a speaker mesh, a speaker grill material. So it was really small and fine, and it looked like a real material, like a real ragtop, but underneath it was actually a speaker that would play.
And there you have it, guys. Thank you for listening to episode number 98 with my guest, Bear Garcia. Make sure you guys check him out on Instagram, at Garcia Bear. I will put a link in the description. It was such an honor talking to him. Definitely we'll have him back on again in the future. And hopefully we figure out something so we can have longer episode, but it's all good. I mean, there's still a lot more stuff to cover, and that's the cool thing about the podcast. You know, we can run it back again and do, there's so much stuff to talk about, you know, so many stories, lots of experiences, and a true legend right there. You know, such an honor, and thank you, Bear, for taking the time doing this, and I hope we... record again in the future. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Keep building. Peace out, guys.